This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Wow. Welcome. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. If you want to join us, call right away, 844-967-2789. If you want to call us later, too. Same number, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci out there in Washington. Hey, what's happening, brother?
Not much, you know, out on the West Coast or the Pacific Inland.
Yeah, you're not exactly
coasting it, but, you know, we're good. We're out here, you know, one more month into this year. And
are you in, like, Bigfoot territory?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's very popular around these parts. So.
Great. So that'll be a whole other Busted Pencils
someday,
searching for for Bigfoot. Yeah, Busted Pencils. Give us a call tonight, though. Two segments. Again, COVID, it's there. Gotta love, though, just in case anybody out there listening is from all the other places. Hey, -9 tonight as a low is a massive improvement, man. You know, I'm looking over there at Jimmy. I mean, today, it lit, like yesterday was -9. Today got up to 20. Jimmy.
It was like summer.
I know.
Outside. I mean, wanted to wear shorts.
People were out in shorts, right? You know, all of a sudden, like, I took my dogs for a walk, and then, like, yesterday I tried, and they were like, no, we're not walking. Today, they're like, yeah. They were like, okay, we're cool.
At the same time, you got to feel bad for the people in Texas.
Yeah. I know, right? You know, they should have never had this. Anyway, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are the place to go to, though, right now, especially during the pandemic. And great guest tonight. He's been on the show before. Capital Times education journalist Scott Girard. Welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Ah, man. All you ever have to do is just ask, and we will always bring you on the show because you got the pulse out there, man, the education beat. But not specifically an article that caught my interest this time. It was more your tweet and a response to your tweet that made me go, oh, okay. So we've talked about this, Johnny and I, but the CDC now has put out guidelines for reopening. You kind of just randomly tweeted it out there, and I didn't see how much further it went, but right away, somebody was like, okay, I got a problem with this, right? And we won't even say which way the problem went because different people have different problems. But Scott, how, like, when you see this information and somebody tweets like that back to you, as an education journalist, how do you try to first make sense of how I'm going to start to communicate this in a journalistic way that makes sense?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, I think it all depends on context, right? And so much of journalism is about that context, and Twitter is not always the best place for context.
Yeah, you can't really expand.
But I think the reason I was putting that out there, you know, just last week, last Wednesday, Madison announced a phased-in reopening plan, and then 2 days later, the CDC came out with its guidelines. And I just thought it was pretty interesting to sort of see what Madison was doing compared to the broad levels of what I tweeted out, right? I didn't get into the specifics. I mean, there are, you could spend days reading through the CDC guidance.
Yeah. Well, I if anybody wants to check it out there, I got a quick little handout there. In fact,
oh,
you know,
my, that.
Yeah, this is awesome. This comes from Big Education Ape Blogspot. Love this place. So if you want a cool handout, go to Big Education Ape Blogspot and you can get a quick little handout right there. CDC. But Scott, keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. But in a case like that, right? So I got the reply. I just wanted to further understand. It was a pretty short reply.
I just want to get this in, Johnny, too.
Yeah.
So Madison announced reopening before CDC guidelines.
Correct. And okay. You know, I think one of the things about these guidelines is the timing of them. Schools would have loved these guidelines quite a while ago, right? You know, there's been a lot of decisions they've been making at various times. And so, you know, they certainly are reading a lot of the studies that go into these guidelines. They're talking with epidemiologists. They have their own health assessment crew that they're meeting with on a weekly basis. So they made that decision, I guess, irrespective of the CDC guidelines, but, you know, public health input and things like that. But the timing was just interesting to be able to sort of look at what Madison had done and then say, well, these are the guidelines schools had been waiting for a long time. Here's what they say.
Right. So when we're talking about Madison, too, we're talking about, you know, one district here in Madison, Wisconsin. So and I know a couple other districts are starting to open up. There's New York City schools. And so if we look at the CDC guidelines, is there anything surprising to you, Scott?
You know, it was interesting how little they focused on ventilation, I would say. And I've seen that a lot of the lens I have on these guidelines, too, again, because I mostly focus on Madison and the districts around here a little bit statewide, but not really nationally. I also glean a lot of my analysis from national education reporters, right, who are really focused on how this is developed and how it came together. And I was surprised at how little it focused on ventilation, given the importance that's been placed on ventilation in a lot of the dialogue I've heard up until now. So that was just a little interesting to me, to see those, that where the stress was put on how to mitigate things, though, you know, seeing the mitigation like masks and distancing and things like that, none of that was really all that surprising to see.
Well, Johnny, have you seen these? I mean, you know, masks, okay. And I'm just going to go off Big Education Apes, nice little handout here. So, essentially, we've got color-coded phases first. But before that, every phase, there's a bottom line. Every phase is mask wearing, okay, period. Social distancing emphasized. Vaccines priority, not a prerequisite to open. And then we get into the codes about what you can do. But for everything, just before we're talking about this, it's masking required, even at the most open. And I'll just say, so for Blue, when they say this now, they base this on, Scott, the transmission rate within the community in which the school is in tells you if you're blue, yellow, orange, or red.
So there's two measures. It's the positive percentage of tests and then the number of positive cases per 100,000 residents over the past 7 days. And the guidance says to take whichever of those is in a worse category and use that.
And then that's how that then number will fit to blue, yellow, orange, or red.
Yep.
Johnny, are you following how to do this if you're ever placed in charge?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm on the fence, Tim, and I don't know if on the fence is the right idea. Just we talk about this, all right? There isn't this like dilemma between open or not open. There's this, where does the evidence we have from good science and from like the CDC help us to get into place the structures and supports and policies? With me, because back to school, but I also want to get back to school in ways that work for all of our learners, all of our families, and at the bottom line, the safety of our entire community, right? And we know we're at a critical moment where we've seen some mental health experts and pediatricians are saying we're at a critical moment. Some of these kids got to get back into safe spaces, and we got to get socialized. And other children are thriving in this particular moment, and it's not universal. There isn't a one size fits all. I get excited about the CDC guidelines. I get really excited about pediatricians putting their voice out there, but I get a little worried, and I'm not coming down hard on school leaders. I think their hands are often tied on this. I get a little worried. Are we ready to implement these, like Scott has told us, we would have liked these as school communities, these kinds of guidelines a while back, with budget support and personnel and training around, okay, we can do this, but it's going to be a whole lot different than we've ever done this before.
Well,
right. So,
and you brought this up, so I want to go right to Scott. So, I mean, your ear to the ground, What are you hearing?
Yeah.
You know, again, this is very Madison, Wisconsin focused. And so I don't, but I think, I mean, a lot of what I'm hearing is what I've seen in those other districts. You mentioned, you know, New York, Chicago, other districts that are opening more recently. There's just a division. There are many in a survey that happened in December. It was almost exactly even for parents that would want to come back and parents that would want to remain in virtual. And as you were mentioning, John, that puts district leaders in a really tough spot, right? Because which group do you make a decision for? And if you give options, well, are you really making a decision that favors either group? And how is that helping teachers? I mean, I do not envy the folks that are in these decision-making places, because I've heard strong, strong opinions on both sides. There's a group of parents, you know, in Madison and in Dane County who have been pushing for schools to reopen for months and just pushing strongly, gathering all kinds of data, regularly being in contact with superintendents and school boards. There's also parents I've talked to who said, I will absolutely not be sending my child back until I'm vaccinated, till their teacher is vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. So and then you have the staff component. I would say early on here in Madison so far, there's definitely been some resistance from staff at the idea of returning so close to vaccination availability potentially.
You know, we're coming up on the first break. I just wonder, like, between what, you know, Scott, you led off with saying, you know, district leaders, people have been waiting for these. Johnny followed up with this. It's like, you know, had the CDC during the time actually been functional under a functioning administration, actually released these guidelines that we have in front of us, would things be different, or are these guidelines now? And then the other thing, and I don't know if you know this, but administrators, leaders, and Scott, are they talking to you? What are they saying? When we get back, more with Scott Girard, Cap Times education journalist, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, back at the break.
This is Dom from the Devil's Advocates. Cody and I have been doing this show for almost 10 years, and we've never had a more engaged, dialed in, and motivated audience, and we love them for it. Now is the time for you to reach the greatest audience ever. Call now and advertise with the Devil's Advocates and Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. Get your message out and let the greatest radio audience know how to support your business. Call Luke at 608-819-TALK. That's 608-819-8255. Or go to darnwi.com.
Stream the Devils and Progressive News and Talk 24-7 at the Devils Advocates Radio Network, Wisconsin. That's darnwi.com. That's darnwi.com.
Hi, this is Dom from the Devil's Advocates inviting you to join us on Patreon.com. Patreon allows for our audience to access exclusive programming not available anywhere else and gives you the ability to directly support the greatest radio show ever. History's patrons have supported the works of Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Monet, and now with your support, the Devil's Advocates. So please go to Patreon.com and search the Devil's Advocates to pick your subscription. That's Patreon.com and the Devil's Advocates, the greatest radio show ever.
Hey, I'm Chris.
And I'm Fancy Brian.
And we are your hosts for a new podcast called On the Bus with Chris and Brian, where we welcome you on board the tour bus with artists from all over the place, giving you a taste for what life is really like on tour. This episode's guest is 1 Week Records recording artist and international touring singer-songwriter, Walt Hamburger.
Podcasts drop every other Tuesday on DevilRadio927.com.
No yelling on the bus!
Saturday morning at 9 a.m., tune in for Ask the Builder and hear about projects that can be done to improve your space. Join me, Naomi Craw, and members of our team at Bachman Construction as we take calls from the community and share our family's 3 generations of experience.
Ask the Builder is Saturdays at 9 a.m. Devil Radio, your fix for progressive news talk from Verona to Sun Prairie. Always streaming at darnwi.com.
Teaching and learning during COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges. Where do you go for answers? Busted Pencils. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. COVID-19, here we are. Scott Girard, Capital Times Madison, education journalist. CDC guidelines are out. He's given us a little bit of the take from that point of view. I was wondering out loud during the commercial is whether any of the leaders that are put in this position have reached out specifically to you, Scott. And you were saying it was more actually earlier.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation is really been going on since late summer, right? These district leaders, whether it's school board members or superintendents, whoever is making a decision, which varies by district, they're not public health experts. They're not epidemiologists. So they're relying on people who have more familiarity with those things. And so districts have relied on their own personal groups of health experts, things like that. But when you're not getting consistent advice from one body, like a CDC, like a public health, that sort of can tie it all together and give you a clear direction and guideline to act on, it's just challenging for these people. And they're trying to do the best they can. It was unclear what the risks were and what could mitigate those. And so I know, you know, that led to the public health, Dane County, Madison, putting in some metrics late last summer. Those were challenged because they applied to private schools as well. And the state Supreme Court put a hold on those. So that put districts back in the spot where, okay, these metrics exist. This is what public health said we should do, but they're not technically, they have no power.
And Johnny, this is the part where I'm thinking about, you know, when we do the show, it's like, you know, even the CDC, their guidelines, it's like we've not been able to enforce any of this because, Johnny, it's political.
Yeah, Tim, I like that aspect of it. I mean, we really have to think about our school communities. It's really got to be localized, right? And we get these guidelines. I was saying it before. I like the guidelines. I like having good information. I trust science. I mean, I have sometimes an eyebrow I raise and I read more, but I get consensus from scientists. We've had shows on that before. And then we make informed decisions, but it's highly localized. There isn't a one-size-fits-all and you know, I think Scott alluded to this too, and our leaders keep saying this. It's like all schools don't have the same resources. There is a real divide between the haves and the have-nots. And we've talked about this time and time again, the kinds of supports in school, whether it's financial resources or just physical resources in a building, and the two are inseparable in a lot of ways. Following the guidelines, being able to deliver the guidelines for teachers, students, and family members is really hard, right? And so some schools are in a position where they're like, we got this, we can make this happen, let's do it, let's unfold and let's get back to school. Other school communities are saying, hold on, it's not one size fits all, we can't do this. And so it gets highly localized, and you're right, Tim, it's political, because we want to be able to say blanket, you know, the entire district's back, but we know even within a local district that there's some divides that make this really, this is
Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, on top of that, you have, right, some communities are more comfortable with the risk involved. There is no zero risk, right? Even when you have the guidelines, even with all the mitigation, there's no zero risk situation. So some places are more comfortable with that risk. Some are more comfortable with the risk of students being at home. And then you get into who COVID is affecting the most in minority communities and how that plays into who is going to be there and who's hurt by it. There's so many levels of the decision and how it plays out that I understand why it needs to be made locally. But I think that also creates a challenge when there's not something uniform for people to point to and say, okay, this means we can open, or this means we have to close.
Right. So, and that is the hard part. But so CDC, though, so blue, I just want to go over these two just for the listener. So we understand mask wearing is absolutely always, no matter what color we're in. Blue means low transmission. You can go to full reopening. Now, remember, full reopening, though, does mean mask wearing, social distance emphasized, and vaccinations if possible. Yellow is moderate transmission. That's also full reopening. Orange is substantial transmission. With that, they recommend a hybrid model and reduced attendance. And then red, no testing. Okay, I don't think we should. That should even be in blue. Never mind. Sorry. No, the other kind of testing, COVID testing. Middle high schools, full remote, K-12 hybrid. So where are we in the color phase in the Madison, Wisconsin area, Scott?
We are in the red, and that is because of the total new cases, which is over 100 in the past 7 days, though the percentage of tests that are positive is, I think last I checked for Dane County, was like 1.7% over the last 7 days. So we'd be blue by that measure, but the CDC says, take the higher threshold if they're different thresholds. So we're in the red for the total new cases per 100,000. So,
okay, so there you go. It's clear as mud then. it's just that these are these things. But, because red, if we're in the red, then it's hybrid, And, does that mean coming back? Schools are full, middle and high schools full remote. And actually, we've seen this mostly throughout Dane County is that at a minimum, pre-K and through two has had some form of face-to-face going on, since the beginning of the school season. But I just get concerned. I'm looking at this, and Scott, again, appreciate it. And as I said, time flies. We're on our 2 minutes here at the hard break. But so you were talking about this. You haven't done a piece yet, but, okay, have we prompted you of the need for the journalism side of going, okay, it's not you weighing in, but how would you approach an article?
I think what I would want to do is look at everything in the CDC guidance, look at everything that public health here has said, and then look at what districts are doing and just put it out there, right? I don't think I need to do more than put the information out there with something like this and show, well, this is where they agree, this is where they contrast, and then hopefully talk to some folks about why that is.
Johnny, you got 30 seconds.
Oh, man, I think this is up, we're getting right onto this kind of discussion where it's not universal. It's not an easy decision, And again, I know we come back to this all the time. This is the messiness of democracy. This is why we need the kinds of critical educators we have in classrooms. We have, whether it's remote or in person, that we're really working on how do we get information that's reliable, and then how do we make it situational and local and democratic, right? And so this is we're in it, whether we like it or not, and we're teaching our young people how to do it and do it well. So we get to hear from teachers, we get to hear from great people like Scott, we get to have these conversations, and hopefully when we get back, we've got callers,
yep,
and we're gonna chop it up some more.
Speaking of that, Scott Girard, Thank you so much for your time. Call us 844-967-2789. More Busted Pencils after the bottom break.